dissolved the council permanently. The last remnants of the old republic have been swept away.
Hey there, you Sleemos. You're listening to the Imperial Senate Podcast, the worst scheduled podcast in the entire galaxy. We're back, guys. And it's been a time. We're glad to be back. So, of course, my name is Nikki. And if you wanted to hear from Charlie and Kristen, unfortunately, today is not your day. But we do have the powerhouse behind data bank discussions, Claire Stribling. How's it going, Claire?
Things are splendid. How are you doing, Nikki?
You know, not too bad. I got my first job interview next week.
Hey, look at you go.
It's very small, but I will say, if anybody finds themselves in LA and wants to take the Warner Brothers studio tour,
ooh,
you might see me.
Nice. Well, I got to go to LA now, Nikki. You got to show me around. I'm like, I demand to have my money back unless Nikki Kumar shows me around.
Well, you will be demanding, probably. I don't know how many tour privileges I would be getting, but yeah, that's my little situation.
I already Otherwise, demand a refund.
Yeah. just don't show up.
No. Well, but I want to, though.
Yeah, well, I'll see how it goes first, and then I'll say, okay, you can come now.
Okay, good.
But yeah, there's been quite a lot of Star Wars news, I suppose, since we last recorded.
I think yes.
I think the last thing we sort of caught was the sort of initiation of Resistance, right? Like that first episode batch that landed.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got plenty to talk about. But yeah, do you have any other general life announcements you got going on?
General life announcements. Let's see here.
Took a little trip.
I did go on a trip. I went to Orlando, Florida, which was a couple Hell weeks yeah. ago now. But you know what? It's still relevant. I don't care. I went to, let's see, what did I do? I went to Disney Springs and I hung out and I did the Secrets of the Empire virtual reality experience, and I definitely cried a lot under my VR helmet, which is fine, totally normal. Nobody was worried about me at all.
Situation normal.
Totally normal. If you ever get the opportunity to do that, sell your kidney, sell your liver. You don't really need those anyway. And go do it, because it's really, really incredible. I know it's been out for a long time, but being in Chicago, I don't really get the opportunity to go down and do that. So it was so cool, and it was an emotional experience for sure. I laughed, I cried, I laughed until I cried. and I went down and I did like Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, which was
nice.
Awesome. I got a little spooked. That was fun.
As you do.
as you do. Went through the Stranger Things house and like got really excited when we saw Steve. And then, of course, a Demogorgon took advantage of that opportunity and scared the crap out of us. But it was mm-hmm. it was worth it because Steve. Yeah. Other than that, life's been good. You know,
cool.
Kicking ass yeah. and taking names like normal, you know.
I noticed that a mall near me has Secrets of the Empire.
What? You have to go.
Yeah, I
now.
I really need to.
Why are you recording this?
Everybody, bye. I'm going. yeah, I need to do it really, really soon. Cause
yes, you do.
It looks amazing.
It's so good. It's so worth it.
But yeah. Well, I'm glad Orlando was awesome.
It was.
I get. It's another thing. Like, I just get these weird urges to go to Disneyland.
Are they weird urges or are they just the right kind of urges?
They're appropriate.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, it's just like, because it seems it's one of those things where it's so close yet so far type situation. like it's essentially just, you know, a bit down the road, but then it's like, but I'm poor.
you don't need to pay rent, you don't need groceries. Just like, go. Okay.
Let's forego the rent so I can spend a day or two going around Disneyland.
You can just sleep under an overpass near Disney during that month.
Oh, see, here we go. This is why we talk about these things. Mm-hmm. We workshop ideas. You know, we get things going. But yeah, let's see. I guess we can dig into some of what is going on in the world of Star Wars.
Let's do it.
This first thing we can mention is there have been a few book releases, which we are very excited about. We're so excited about them that we have yet to purchase them.
And we're poor. Yeah. Remember that.
Here's the theme. The Senate is not well-funded. But we have Women of the Galaxy by the amazing Amy Ratcliffe and Scum and Villainy, Case Files on the Galaxy's Most Notorious by the also amazing Pablo Hidalgo. Everybody loves Pablo.
How can you not, man?
So yeah, I think they're both sort of, one is, you know, more about, I think Scum and Villainy is like an in-universe sort of thing. They're like case files of certain characters on the cover. You can see Aurra Singh, the Crimson Corsair, Jabba the Hutt, Boba Fett, you know, the classics.
All the cool kids.
Right, where I think Women of the Galaxy is a little more out of universe, right? And it sort of talks about the impact and of the characters and stuff.
And shows like artwork from Star Wars artists of all these awesome kick-ass female characters, and I am going to probably drink like a whole bottle of wine and flip through it and get a little emotional about it.
As you do.
Gonna be great. Like some of that art that I've seen online, I want it all framed and put on my wall.
Yeah, a lot of it's really incredible.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, I think I cannot wait to pick up these books because they are look like a great time.
And you should,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, of course. So go support Del Rey.
Yay.
Because they need it. The other piece of cool news that has circulated the Star Wars community is General Grievous has made his debut in Star Wars Battlefront 2. And Claire, you have played as him. How is he on the battlefield?
I really like him. In the original Battlefront 2, I always played as Grievous. I just adored him, and it makes my nostalgic heart happy to see him back. And on top of that, his move set is so funky and strange that I'm in. He's such a weirdo, and I find that super endearing and fun. The only problem is right now, this early on, he's a bit clunky. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's going to get – like there's just going to be some things that are going to get patched up in the next weeks. But I like him so far. He's funny, and I just like Grievous, and I'm really happy to see him back in Star Wars Battlefront. He's a sweet pup, really. He really is.
Yeah, I also love Grievous. I think he's more iconic than people give him credit for, on a general scale at least. And I think it's really cool that he is he's in Battlefront in this capacity, looking amazing, you know, having that top-notch rendering that Battlefront 2 gives our beloved characters. And I think, like, I've yet to play as him, but I think you're probably playing as him wrong if you don't, like, almost get killed in a battle and then immediately run away.
Oh, but only if you do it in, like, the spider move, the spider right. Runaway move, the little scuttle.
You do the spider. So, like, as Grievous, you shouldn't be allowed to win any engagement. You have to go in there, you have to talk some shit, and then swing, do the swingy move with your lightsaber, go like an inch from losing and then run, because that is the grievous way.
Yes.
But yeah, I guess also with the release of Grievous, we had some sort of hero audio files coming out where they referenced Ahsoka and Padme. And those have been doing the rounds on the internet. So what do you guys think about that?
Oh my God. So first off, I'm not a technologically savvy person when it comes to, I'm not a PC gamer. I have a PlayStation 4 and a Nintendo Switch, and I've never been a PC gamer. I'm not good with coding. I'm not good with anything like that. So I don't know exactly how they were able to uncover these audio files from what I assume would be the PC version of Battlefront. But I am also not an expert on how they code these things in general. It's very interesting that they had Padme and Ahsoka in the names of the audio files that Grievous uses to supposedly reference them potentially in the future. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and you gotta assume that crazy Star Wars nerds like us are going to dig through the files for any nugget of information. Yeah. We are crazy enough for that. So it surprises me that that's even something that was able to be found. I feel like you'd want to do a little fulcrum kind of code name for either of them, but
yeah, I mean, especially in the gaming community.
Oh yeah,
like I play a lot of Destiny, and I assume this happens in other games, but I know like specifically here, people data mine the crap out of that.
Oh yeah,
just to find anything basically, and so like as a game developer, I would assume you're like aware that that's a thing that happens. And if you're trying to keep things under wraps, you find a way to, yeah, fulcrumize it, as you said. So yeah, it's interesting that that has come out. And I think eventually it's not a stretch to imagine these characters would eventually come in.
Can you imagine how much the Star Wars community is going to flip when you find out that you can play as Ahsoka and Padme and find it without the rumor tagline to it?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how we're going to burn Twitter to the ground even more so than it does naturally on its own? Like, it's going to be crazy.
This time we'll burn it and we'll love it.
It'll be good flames.
Yes.
Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah, it'll be delicious. I think that's great. I'm not a huge Battlefront player. I don't really know why. Everything about it seems like it's something I would be on like constantly, but I'm just generally not. But I'm glad that they're coming up big with some cool plays, because kind of Star Wars gaming is not in the most exciting place right now.
No.
You know, we had some big losses with the I forget what the heck it was even. I guess was Visceral was doing it?
Yeah, that's right. It was Visceral. Yeah,
that like the Amy Hennig project that
could have been so amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Star Wars Uncharted, like yeah. So we lost that. You know, things aren't looking too great. But Battlefront is keeping some content coming, keeping people excited. I think that's a nice thing to have for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, and also, really quickly, I'll mention, because I saw something about Red Dead Redemption 2, like, busting the entertainment industry weekend record. It beat Infinity War.
Oh my gosh.
For first weekend sales. I think it went to, like, 700 something million.
That's insane.
It's insanity. And it's just like, man, think about a Star Wars style Red Dead Redemption like game where you just kind of exist in this giant galaxy and do stuff.
I think the one problem with that would be that since Disney has to plan 5,000 steps ahead before anything can get released, think of that like times 5 or times 10 when you're releasing a full game. Mm-hmm. It takes so long to get these games into productions. I mean, look how long it takes between video game sequels if we're doing, like, you know, these big games. It really does, you know, it would be hard for Disney to want to do that and place a full-on Star Wars game that's more than, like, the 7 or 8 hour campaign in Battlefront. Mm-hmm. 'Cause of just when it would be released and how it would be relevant to their timeline, because it seems like they want to tie their novels and their comics and their movies and television shows. It seems like they want to tie them together in some way. Mm-hmm. That complicates things. Yeah. And by the time that a game would be released, it might be old news. That just could be. But you know what? We are crazy Star Wars fans, as I've referenced before, and nothing is old news to us. It'll right. live on forever. It'll be relevant. But to, like, the general video game populace, you know, who are buying video games, they might not be on the same page. Like,
yeah.
The Rogue, like, having a Rogue One tie-in video game that comes out in another 6 years
right.
may not be so relevant or exciting to them as it would be to us crazy fans, but that's my speculation random tangent for the day. There you go. You're welcome.
I think to me, the thing you said about the story is what I see as, like, the biggest hurdle, because, like you said, like, we're in the canon age now, right? And when you think about a game like Red Dead Redemption, or not even that, but maybe even just more like The Old Republic or something, where the story, I feel like, is less. I mean, I feel like the player has a lot of leeway in how they can do things.
Definitely. I think.
So, as opposed to Battlefront story, where it's a very defined path, right? Like, this is the story, as opposed to the other type of video game where a player has more ability to change the world around them. That doesn't really fit into a canon setting.
For right, sure.
So yeah, because there's no story will be the same. So there's no thing. So that's why I think, but if we do get narrative based Star Wars games, it'll be a very set, you know, path like we saw in Battlefront 2 with Inferno Squad.
Definitely.
But I guess speaking of things we didn't expect to be coming back, we got a pretty big announcement on Thursday, November 8th, where Disney had some sort of quarterly earnings meeting. I don't know exactly the
yeah, like an investor call level. To update the investors on what's been going on in the Disney world.
There we go. That's the one. So it's basically where Bob Iger talks about how awesome Disney is right now. And we got some big news on the Disney streaming platform. It's called Disney Plus. And
which is exciting because this is where we got the name.
Yeah, for sure. That's big news in itself.
It has a name.
Yeah. But we got the bigger news of a new series that will come with it. Or I don't know if it'll come with it, but it'll be on it. And it is going to revisit Cassian Andor, played by Diego Luna in Rogue One. And we will see Cassian sort of follow the storyline of the early years of the Rebellion and all the cool stuff that could entail. So a Rogue One prequel starring Diego Luna. Who would have thunk it?
Not me in any capacity.
Oh, man. What a dream, though.
I'm so happy.
I can't even, like, man. I know I'm nowhere close to being alone in this, but Cassian Andor is a character that really has a special place in my heart. he was definitely my favorite out of Rogue One. And I am so happy to see him come back and see Diego Luna come back and explore so much open territory that there's just no way it's not going to be exciting. It was very much like a speechless type thing when that news was announced. I was just like, oh my god.
I like nearly threw my phone across the room. I was like, like, this is up. A lie. Like, you're all messing with me.
you cursed machine.
No, because Diego Luna, during the lead up to Rogue One being released, I hadn't seen a whole lot of Diego Luna's work. But the one thing I did know was watching him in literally any interview that he was in. I was like, oh, I am in love with this man. He's so sweet. He is so charming and he loves this. He genuinely loves the Star Wars universe. And he's just, and then I saw Rogue One after already having a little soft spot for him. And from the second he shot his informant, I was like, who are you? I need to know who you are. Oh my God. And I'm very, very excited about this being a series because there's so many things that can be talked about simply because of the one thing he says to Jin after Edu, and that was, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. You're not the only one who's lost everything. Mm-hmm. And in that one little line, there is so much to unpack and so many stories to tell. And if you think about it too, he grew up on a separatist world, I'm pretty sure, and he was not fighting on the side of the Republic. He's been fighting the Empire, essentially, the pre-Empire his whole life, and now he's fighting the Empire. And I'm just so excited to see what it means to be someone who grew up, first of all, on the side of the separatists. We don't get that many separatist stories.
Yeah.
And even though it's gonna probably not be the happiest story, he says he lost everything. What happened to him?
at least we'll know he makes it to the end of the series.
And we know for sure, because we know how he ends up, we know for sure that it has to be a prequel to Rogue One.
Right. The sequel would be less interesting.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of dust floating in space, and that's less interesting. Sad, but, it's true.
I think that's a good point about the Separatists, because something I always kind of wanted in Rebels was to have one of those... like the guy, like the general in the Clone Wars movie who like Obi-Wan captured, or, you know, like talks to and stuff. I would have loved if he came back in Rebels as a like rebellion general.
Yes.
and just been like, we were right. God damn it. I knew it the whole time. The Republic was messed up and look what they are now. I think that's a piece of the Separatist movement that we haven't seen yet. So I think it'll be really interesting if we get to see how a separatist, or, you know, whatever capacity he was a separatist, to viewing the this age of imperial rise and dominance, and how someone with that mindset then translates into, you know, the heroic Rebel Alliance that we love and care about.
Right? And just like thinking about, okay, so we've explored how the clones turn on the Jedi and how the Empire takes over and Palpatine kind of shuts off the other side of the war. As somebody who genuinely believes in the side of the Separatists, how do you handle that transition? And on top of that, he was in this fight since he was 6 years old. Was he a child soldier? Was it just because the war came to his planet when he was so little and he was forced to run with his family? I hope we get multi-generational Cassian Andors. I hope we get that 6-year-old Cassian at some point in some sort of flashback.
It would fit the Rogue One style, right?
It would. We got Baby Jin. We got to get Baby Cassian now. I'm so excited. And Diego Luna is just so talented, and he fits into Star Wars so well. And oh, this is going to be so fun. And they talked a little bit about it being, and I quote this from StarWars.com, it is, "The rousing spy thriller will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to a galaxy in the grip of a ruthless empire." I'm in.
I'm so moist right now.
I am so moist as well. Oh, how can I not be?
It's man. Oh. So good.
So moist.
Yes. So Diego Luna himself commented on the news. And he said, "Going back to the Star Wars universe is very special for me. I have so many memories of the great work we did together and the relationships I made throughout the journey. We have a fantastic adventure ahead of us, and this new exciting format will give us the chance to explore this character more deeply." Hell yeah.
I'm so in. Take my money.
Yeah, I think he is a perfect actor to bring back and put right in the middle of a big story. Not even just for the great things it does for representation of a major character being the center of its own show, but he's also just a super talented dude. And I think some people have, I've seen, criticized Cassian in Rogue One. They say they felt he was flat or something.
No, and get out. Sorry.
Hopefully, if you felt that, this will be a good show to really give Diego Luna more time to breathe into that character, to expand and grow what we know about Cassian, and just show what this guy can do as an actor. I think that'll be a really exciting part of it.
I agree. And although I am not in the camp of those people.
Yeah, they're wrong as fuck.
Cassian was honestly my favorite character in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. He was the one that I wanted to watch and I wanted to know more about, more so than anybody else. And the biggest downfall for Rogue One was having so many, it had so many interesting characters that clearly had some rich backstory and some seriously interesting pasts, that because it was in the format of a movie, they didn't explore all that deeply except for a line or two for everybody, it seemed. Mm-hmm. This Disney streaming service is giving the perfect opportunity to change that a little bit. Yeah. I've always accepted that format for Rogue One. I've always been cool with that because I know we're going to get novels and comics and all these things to continue filling out the world. But as far as like the casual fan goes, they're not going to read all the novels or the comics. That's just not their thing. But a television show, they might be more on board to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. It's the beginning of a new era, and I'm very excited about it.
For sure. I think you're right about like just how Rogue One, being a movie with a giant ensemble crew, you can't take that time, right? Like you have to move forward. You have to, maybe hint at things, but yeah, it's special that we get to revisit those characters who got, they got their time cut short because the story of Rogue One is one of sacrifice, right? And being not seeing the things you, not seeing what good comes from your actions, right? Like they all die before they know what eventually happened. So it's like they serve a very specific purpose in Rogue One, and it's nice to see that purpose get expanded, at least for Cassian. I guess next year. I don't know when this is coming out, actually.
Yeah, they haven't released a date yet, but it's not going to start filming until next year at some point. So my guess is we're going to get The Mandalorian next year, and then we'll probably not get this until the end of 2019 at the earliest. Mm-hmm. But I am patient. I will wait.
I don't know if they have they mentioned if I think the idea is that Clone Wars launches with it, right?
Yes, I think but that is the case.
Is the Mandalorian going to? Is there any notion of that?
I can't think of the source at the moment, but I'm pretty sure that it's been. I'm pretty sure somebody has talked about it coming out at some point next year, but I don't know when that will be.
Right.
Because, I mean, they're already shooting, which is.
Yeah.
Which makes you think that it'll come out within the next year, right?
Yeah, because it probably doesn't have, or I was about to say like I had some idea. I don't. I don't know how long they're shooting. I don't know how long they're shooting.
We're just talking out of our butts at this point.
Yeah, it's possible because they've been shooting for what, a couple months now.
Yes,
maybe a month or two. So yeah, maybe a few months more or another month more, and that'll probably go into post production early next year. And yeah, like summer, fall, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But yeah, one last thing I do want to say about Diego Luna is I remember being at Celebration in London for that Rogue One panel. And when he was sort of introduced and I guess, you know, given the microphone or whatever, I remember him saying, the reason I signed on, or like, not the reason, like, one of the biggest reasons I signed on to a Star Wars movie was for this event, right? Like being on the panel at Celebration. And as someone who, you know, like, we go to those things, we're in those crowds, we're excited, we're pumped to hear someone say, oh yeah, like, one of the biggest, like, I didn't just do this for the paycheck, right? Like, to say, like, very, like, right off the bat, I did this because I wanted to be a part of this fandom, like, to come here. Not only just, I signed on to the movie because I wanted to be in a Star Wars movie, but I wanted to see the fans, like, in this setting. When he said that, I was totally just on board with this guy. I'd already been Cassian curious because I really liked his character design. But yeah, when he said that, I was totally on board. And yeah, I think of all the old cast members they could have brought back to give a unique story to, I'm glad it's him.
I am too. I remember that panel. I was, full disclosure, I was drunkenly watching that panel on a live stream at a party in college. I literally borrowed the host of the party's laptop and locked myself in their bedroom. I was like, hey, this is really awkward. The Rogue One panel is coming on and I need to watch it. like, okay.
Like, shut up and leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gone for an hour.
I'm like, sorry, I have to watch this.
Yeah.
And everybody, of course, made fun of me relentlessly. But when I came out, I was very, very happy. So screw them.
I wish, you know, they released or they showed a trailer at the end of that panel. Right. Like I think they cut off the streaming feed.
They showed us
a trailer. I want to see it again. They've never released it.
I don't know what happened. I want to know.
I can't even remember what happened.
There has to be at least crappy cell phone footage that I haven't seen.
Right. That's what I thought. But I think I tried to do a YouTube search and they've all gone.
Release the footage, you cowards.
I mean, why not, right? Like, what are you losing? I think...
Right? We know what happens.
I think the only thing I can think of is there was a lot of stuff in there that was not in the movie. Meaning it's all the old unreshot footage. Because there's like a Jin speech that she didn't give, or she only like gave bits and pieces of. I just remember this shot of one of those, those big shuttles, like the Rogue One shuttle, right? The transport thing, cargo shuttle. I remember a shot of that, mm-hmm. like a unique shot that wasn't in the movie. And they did it. They ended with a Vader shot that I don't think was in the movie. But yeah, like, why not? Just go ahead and release it.
Yeah, at this point, who cares? Just put it on Star Wars, like, YouTube channel.
I do think it's funny, though, that they reused footage of the like, very first Rogue One teaser. They chopped off the beginning of that and put it in Solo. It's, like, it's the very end when Han goes to see Lando. It's that shot of the forest with, like, a river at the bottom or jungle or whatever. Yeah, that's straight out of the like initial Rogue One teaser. So that was funny.
I need to rewatch both of them. Darn, I guess I should do that.
Yeah.
If I have to.
Maybe they'll find some use for it and they're just hanging on to it. But release that trailer, guys. So yeah, as you guys can probably tell, we are very excited for the Cassian series. One thing, we haven't even mentioned this, but we'll do it really quickly. Basically, online right now is a free-for-all of who do you want to see in this series?
Yes, it really is. There's right. So many and, possible cameos.
You know, I've seen people sort of be like sort of talk down on that talk. I just want to say, I don't think anybody's sitting here saying we want some random cameo to hijack the show from Cassian, right? Like,
No.
I think it's very clear to everybody that this show is about him and, you know, his role in whatever's going on. But like you said, there's so many avenues, so many possibilities of what you can do, who you can see. And I was just going to ask you if you can give me like two or your top three who you would want to see in the Cassian show.
Ooh, okay. Whoa, you're putting me on the spot here. Let's see. I would say, why you do this to me? I want a live action Harrison Dula.
Hell yeah.
Voiced by the wonderful Vanessa Marshall. I think she would make so much sense. We've already gotten Chopper and we've already mentioned her name in Rogue One. Cassian's got to know who she is, so her showing up in a rebel briefing at the very least and saying some cool stuff and having Chopper beep in the background, I don't think that's super out of place. I think it's doable. That's a big one for me because Hera is my girl and I love her dearly. What else do I want? I want the handsome, incomparable Anton Merrick to come back. Right?
Yeah.
I want to see his beautiful mug again and leading Blue Squadron and being a fox while doing it. I want that back.
Yep.
Wow. And K2. How could... what's wrong with me? K2. and Thrawn. Whoa! Hold on! Sorry.
Back up
a few steps here. Do the timelines match up? Could we get a Thrawn? I think yes.
I think there's no reason why not. I think that does... I think that could work. Yeah, of course it could work. Yeah, definitely.
The idea of seeing a sexy Grand Admiral Thrawn in live action taking names and having Cassian potentially be fighting Thrawn... I don't think Thrawn will be in it. I honestly don't, but if he did show up, I would probably cry. So that would be my short list, probably.
Fair. So I think Thrawn can take K2's place because I think K2's a given.
You think K2's a given? Ooh, why do you say such things?
I guess it's maybe not, but I feel like it's such a clear story beat. You know, or I guess they had that comic, right? Is the comic where he meets K2?
Yeah, they had like a one-off comic where they talk about how they met.
Yeah, I feel like, maybe given is too strong, but I feel like it just makes too much sense that he should be there eventually at some point. Maybe not to start off,
I'd like at the very least a cameo because it seems like their relationship is so important, or at least K2 hates everybody, but he's attached to Cassian and will do what he says.
Yeah. I mean, theirs is the love story, or one of the loves, one of the main love stories in Rogue One. and I think, yeah, it's always, that's always the bar, right? Like a new Star Wars content thing. Like, I feel like the bar is, how does this enhance what we knew before? Right. And definitely. a good, you know, chunk of that show being the K2 Cassian relationship. I think that'll make that sacrifice at the tail end of Rogue One just a lot, like, that much more meaningful.
I think so too. I and although they haven't announced him, I will say this. Okay, so on Twitter, when the news was announced and I had my initial tweet, which was like quoting it and saying, this is the show I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody responded to my tweet with, I'm paraphrasing it. It's Obi-Wan. Well, that I was about to say it's Obi-Wan Kenobi on Twitter, but that's generic. and responded to my tweet, tagging Alan Tudyk and said, I'm paraphrasing it. I'm so sorry to whoever actually tweeted at me. Saying like, hey, I really need Alan Tudyk to show up, right? He's going to show up. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? and although Alan Tudyk did not respond to the tweet, here we go. It was at Kylo Ash, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Thank you. At Kylo Ash said, I swear to God, if Alan Tudyk isn't in this series, I will riot. With a gif of K2 saying, would you like to know the probability of her using it against you? It's high. It's very high.
Mm-hmm.
And although he did not comment on it, he did like that tweet, which makes me think that it's going to happen. Headcanon. Yeah. Alan Tudyk's going to show up. He likes it. Let's
do it. Yeah, I think it'd be a big missed opportunity to not have such a shining star of Rogue One come into the show.
And that show's going to be so dark if we're talking about, and he talks in Rogue One so much about all the terrible things he's had to do for the Rebellion, knowing it's in the name of a good cause.
Mm.
You're going to need comic relief at some point. Yeah. Who better than K2?
And it's Star Wars, right? Like, it's just, it needs that element, the fun right? element.
It needs to be fun.
Right. Let's see. If I was going to pick my three characters, I will say... Bail Organa.
Ooh, Jimmy Smits.
Give me that Jimmy Smits.
Oh, anytime Jimmy shows up doing anything, I am here for it.
Underutilized character in all of Star Wars.
Agreed.
So yeah, give me some Jimmy Smits. Then I want Agent Callus.
Oh, I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah, like I think that makes sense. He sets up a Fulcrum network also.
Oh my God, I need to see, you know, live action sideburns.
Right?
Oh my.
The things you could see with Callus. And then I'm going to go ahead and say Enfys Nest.
Ooh, you think Enfys can make a cameo here.
I hope so. Because, you know, there's all, you could talk forever about the future of Solo, right? And I think, you know, if Solo never, the Solo, like, story brand or whatever never went anywhere, what a great opportunity to use those cast members or someone who featured there in a sort of, like, lower stakes setting, I suppose.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, branching off that, anybody who showed up in Solo, like... who didn't die. I'm down to see them here if it works. I think Enfys could definitely work.
Definitely as another rebel cell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it also opens up the possibility to see somebody like Saw Gerrera again.
Right. Right.
Because
Two Tubes connects them, right?
Good old. Oh, that's right. We could see the betrayal of Two Tubes.
bring back Weasel.
Bring back. Well, Weasel deserves to be in every Star Wars story.
Yes.
But also this, another thing to think about with this Cassian news is that it sets the precedent for a minor character in a standalone movie to get their own television show. Like, this is probably not the end of the Star Wars shows to be announced on the Disney streaming service. Yeah. We could get any character in Solo, which we're probably not going to get a Solo 2 kind of movie, but we could get a Lando series. We could get a Kira and Maul series. We could get all sorts of things because we had talked about it in theory, and then with like the Avengers rumors having like the Loki standalone show and having all of these other things.
So Loki's confirmed, right?
Loki is confirmed now as of this same call, which is super exciting.
All right. So it's not just Star Wars for
It's not
for
just
you,
Star Wars.
You multi-fandom people out there.
Right. Which is so exciting because Tom Hiddleston is a fabulous Shakespearean actor and is another one of my man crush Mondays every Monday. And I love Loki. But but yeah, it just shows that any of these characters in any of these standalone movies, they can have their own mini series.
Yeah, for sure.
We can explore them more. And even though we're probably not going to get a Solo 2, we can still find out what's going on with Crimson Dawn, and which is one of the biggest tragedies, I think, of only getting it in one movie.
Right. And, you know, I think I don't know who they talk to like gauge these sort of things. But I think there's enough of a feeling amongst the sort of audiences or the fan community that seeing more of who was in Solo is something people want. And, you know, whether you know, I don't know like what they have planned for this service, but if it turns into Netflix, Netflix is just like they don't care. They're just making movies now with stars, right? Like there's like the Chris Pine one just came out, and
that's right, yeah,
yeah. And
I think there's like a Brad Pitt one, or like isn't Scorsese directing a Netflix movie? Somebody had
really
mentioned that to me before, but
yeah,
if you can get Scorsese to direct a movie for a streaming service.
Right.
The sky's the limit, man.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about Solo too, and I'm like, you know, if they just start making movies, why not just do the direct-to-service Solo 2? You know, if you don't want to put it in a theater, if you don't feel like a theater is going to have a great box office return. You know, just make the content and put it on the streaming service. And
exactly. Everybody watches Netflix.
Yeah. The audience will be there. I think that's what's exciting. So
also, I'm not crazy. I just Googled it. Yes, Martin Scorsese is directing a movie that comes on Netflix next year called The Irishman. I'm okay, thank God.
Yeah.
I said it and then I was immediately like, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
There we go. No, it makes total sense too. The entertainment landscape is shifting, and that's like what's fun about trying to get into content creation right now, because like everyone is trying to make stuff, like Facebook's making stuff now, right?
Yeah.
Like
Facebook TV stuff, yeah, right.
So it's just like the things you can do, it's not as sort of like binary as it was. It's like, oh, you make a TV show or you make a movie, and one goes on TV, one goes on a, you know, in a theater run. It's all a different game now. So I think anyone holding out for Solo 2, I think, you know, it's not a bizarre thing to imagine a Solo movie coming out on the streaming service somewhere down the line. But we'll see.
I know
I'm excited. And I guess sort of the last thing about Cassian, really quickly. I think the honorable mention character that is on everyone's mind is Jabba the Hutt.
It's a texture he needs to discover.
The texture must be discovered. And who better to discover it than a Fulcrum agent in the Rebellion? Oh man, what a world it would be if they somehow stuck that in.
I would be so happy. And I know it would kind of be like fan service-y, but if they tied it in, if they had an episode where Cassian was going, you know, he needed help from the Hutts to get past some sort of blockade or some sort of, he needed to infiltrate some sort of crime syndicate. Come on. It can work. It could work in a story without it being like ridiculous fan service. Give him Jabba.
I would even take a throwaway line. Like, have you ever felt a Hutt? Because I have. You know, just give Cassian the Hutt. But Diego Luna with his hands on Jabba would be fascinating.
It would be.
Yeah, we'll keep thinking about this. We'll keep staying moist about this. we're gonna of course love talking about this as production keeps moving. We still don't know who is attached to like write it or run it or direct it. You know, there's still a lot to discover about the Cassian show, and we're here for it, guys. We're pumped.
We're in.
But let's take a quick trip over to animation.
Yay!
Star Wars Resistance. It's popping off. Still, it's a good time over on the Disney Channel. And we haven't talked about the last few episodes. We have episode 4, Fuel for the Fire, episode 5, The Hightower, and episode 6, The Children from Tahar. So I guess just generally, what do you think about these follow-up episodes from the sort of premiere?
I think they were really, really great. Out of these three episodes, I have two of my favorite episodes of Resistance so far, which my favorite was The Hightower, with a very, very close second being the most recent one, The Children from Tahar. I think they have something really exciting going on here. And obviously it still feels like it's geared towards children, which is fine. But it's one of those children's shows that you want to sit down with your nephew or niece or child if you have kids and you don't, and you like enjoy watching it with them, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like just kitty all around. Some of the humor lands that way, but it's really creative and it's adding things to the Star Wars universe that are important, I think. Filling out those gaps right before The Force Awakens that have been barely explored at this point in the canon. And, I mean, it's been so exciting. We've had allusions to Kylo Ren in this most recent episode, and also allusions to the unknown regions, which is my favorite thing to scream about when it comes to Star Wars, is that I don't care what anybody says to me, we are going to the unknown regions at some point. Apparently, Tahar is a planet in the a place in the unknown regions. Mm-hmm. And those kids stowed away on some kind of freighter and ended up on the Colossus. There is so much to unpack in these episodes, and they're just delightful, and the characters are still endearing. I really liked these last three. I enjoyed quite a bit. The last two more so. Fuel for the Fire was fun and had one of my favorite hobbits, Elijah Wood, in it. But what did you think, Nikki? What were you thinking about these last episodes?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it would have been very easy to turn this show into brain candy. Like,
for sure.
I think about stories the way I think about food.
well, who doesn't think about food 99% of the day?
so like you have, or not even stories, entertainment, right? So you have things that are just pure brain sugar, right? Like there's no nutritional value but it just makes you feel good, right? So I won't give any examples. I don't want to offend anyone's preferences. You have entertainment content that is just there to make you feel like good or whatever, relax. And then you have a more nutritious sort of entertainment thing that, you know, plants things, makes, you know, stronger emotions, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like resistance is a really good, it's in a good place between those two, right? It's like the frosted mini wheats of, of shows. Like, you know, like there's some,
I love that.
Like there's some sugar there. And, you know, that's probably not great for you in the long run. But it's still got that fiber that like gives it substance, right? Like there's, like you said, you know, we get these mentions of Kylo Ren, of the unknown regions, of where the First Order is and how the rest of the galaxy views them. And I think that's really useful. I think this is finding really nice ways to deepen the sequel trilogy era without being too intense or too detailed or too like immersive, you know. It's finding a nice way to just to keep the main adventure going while giving you enough context to feel like this world is deepening. And I think that's a really cool thing they've done with the show so far.
I agree. And there's a couple things that I wanted to ask you about or at least discuss with you a little bit. One thing that the last two episodes brought into my brain was a debate on how I felt about Captain Doza and what are his intentions.
His only intention is to have a sexy voice.
He does have a sexy voice and a sexy Tom Selleck mustache with a little salt and pepper action going on.
Oh my gosh. He's like the Nasonex allergy bee.
Right? Time out. Why is he like the Nasonex allergy bee?
Because it's like Antonio Banderas. Like, have you?
Oh my God. Do you remember forgot that, about that.
Do you remember that bee? Where he's like, oh, take a Nasonex allergy symptom. It relieves your allergy symptoms. And like it's like being in love is never sneezing or something like that. And yeah, no, that is some major Captain Doza vibes going on with that.
Oh yeah. My God.
He's like, I love the Colossus because I do not have allergies while I am on the Colossus.
Well, there's no plants on the Colossus. You're in the middle of a body of water. Of course you've got no allergies. Nothing's blooming.
Well, you know, someone could bring something onto the thing. See, that's why he keeps a tight ship. That's why he stays in his high tower. Because people are bringing all sorts of allergens onto the Colossus. And, you know, he's hanging in there.
He is hanging in there.
That's why his intentions are unknown. Because... you know, maybe he's just trying to defend himself. Maybe the First Order is like, we'll bring you major allergy medicine supplies.
That's anyway. Why he has Phasma on speed dial. Yeah. That explains it.
But yeah, to take the question a little more seriously, Captain Doza, yeah, he's a weird one to read. I think he might just be super pragmatic about it. I don't know if he has any particular motive. I feel like I don't think he's like any sort of spy yet, at least. Because I think he's just someone right now who probably doesn't understand, or not understand, but like doesn't believe the threat of the First Order is what we know it to be. And I think he might just be someone looking out for his station and being like, okay, if these people are, you know, trying to set up some sort of like protection scheme, might not be the worst thing in the world, you know, if it keeps the station safe. But you know, that remains to be seen. It is highly suspicious that he can very quickly call Captain Phasma up and be like, hey, so this is going on.
Right. Like the second anything comes up, Phasma's who you call. Mm-hmm. If it's something like questionable or sketchy, why wouldn't it's not the resistance. It's not Poe or Ello that you're calling up. It's Phasma?
Yeah.
And I get wanting to stay on the First Order's good side. That makes sense, especially since you don't know. It seems like the galaxy doesn't really know their intentions or what they're up to. But yeah, isn't that sketchy? It's a little bit sketchy.
It's just about the most sketch thing you can do in this period of Star Wars history.
Right? Yeah, they look so much like stormtroopers. Aren't you worried?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're taking private meetings with Major Von Ray and his little entourage and, you know, speed dialing Phasma. Yeah, it's just, it's not a good look, bro.
Yeah, and Commander Pyre and his Snoke-like golden outfit, you know?
Do you think Snoke personally designed Commander Pyre's uniform?
I can only hope so, because if both of them show up to a party dressed like that, that would be awkward, you know?
Commander, put these slippers on as well. yeah, the gold look is good, though. I wasn't sure how I would feel about gold, because it's just like, at what point do we just cycle through every color for a commander?
Yeah.
But I think it looked good, though.
I agree. And another thing, another testament to the animation of the show is just how good Phasma and Pyre look,
mm-hmm.
as far as like as wearing an outfit that's, you know, reflects light in that kind of way.
Yeah.
They animated that in such a skillful and beautiful way that I was very impressed. I mean, everything is beautiful in this show, especially the like, you know, the shots of the Colossus or Starkiller Base or all of these big items, these big locations that they are viewing from a distance. They've done an excellent job and everything looks so beautiful. But for some reason, the chrome armor style really, really has impressed me, the way they've animated it.
Yeah. And I think there was a recent featurette, sort of behind the scenes thing about the First Order that was released online somewhere. And it's funny you talked about that, because Amy Beth Christensen specifically mentions in that featurette like the care they took to show Phasma off like the right way.
That's so funny. I haven't watched it.
Right. Like in the that's true, people, because we were talking about this earlier and she said she didn't watch it. So she's not just trying to sound like she's clever.
Yeah, because I'm not. I'll admit that first off.
But yeah, I think it's amazing how she looks, because especially with a character who you're trying to grow in a meaningful way, because I mean, people have had their say, I'll say that much, about how they feel Phasma was used in episode 7 primarily is probably the most I've seen a complaint about Phasma's usage. I think people were expecting more, for whatever reasons. And
I think it was probably because the hype before episode 7 and like they just talked her up so much.
Mm-hmm.
They did less so before The Last Jedi, but yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like you expect a new villain to be around, right?
For
and
sure.
And stuff like that. But I think, yeah, but with this show, they have the opportunity to really give the character the sort of time and space needed to have that impact that you would expect. Because, I mean, she's like the commander of the First Order forces, really, you know? She's the one who sort of goes out and does things. So I think they've done a really cool job in not only, you know, nailing Gwendolyn Christie down to you know, commit to this little cartoon, but in just showing the character properly and having that the way the cape falls, the way the armor shines, the way she stands in this like 2D setting. I think it's definitely a really important thing that they've done in showing Captain Phasma this way.
It's so impressive,
mm-hmm.
how far animation has come, just in general. But even though with the first Resistance teaser, I think we were all at least a little bit shocked by the images we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people were on the fence about it and about the animation style. But yeah, they've just excelled for me. And Phasma and Pyre are just the perfect example of that. And it makes me happy to know how important they view those tiny details, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's that tender love and care.
Right? It's like these people actually enjoy Star Wars and want it to be the best.
Yeah. You know, it's like they do care, as the trolls on Twitter don't seem to believe people do. But yeah, what else is there? I think now Claire, you featured on the Star Wars Underworlds coverage of episode 6. Now, it's interesting that you did, because I've been filing paperwork to sue Ben Hart.
What?
For emotional damages. when he suggested that Yeager is the First Order spy.
Oh, I remember that.
It's sort of old news, but we haven't recorded. I wanted to make sure I brought this up.
Oh, because man.
Now we're going back to a few episodes ago, Fuel for the Fire, where Kaz sneaks into Yeager's office to help Frodo. Rucklin. Frodo Rucklin. He helps him steal some hyperfuel to make his racer ship go super fast. And while he's in there, he finds Yeager's family photo and his Battle of Jakku sort of like, yay, we did it photo. And I think for me, Yeager is my favorite character I've seen out of Resistance. He's the one I'm wanting to see more of the most. The new characters. I mean, Poe lives in his own space. So of the new characters, Yeager is my guy. And after seeing those photos and, you know, this hero of the rebellion, the notion of him helping the First Order against the Republic he fought to preserve or to bring back, the notion that he would betray that to help the First Order gives me great distress. So, Ben Hart of the Star Wars Underworld, you're officially on notice for suggesting this thing. And, you know, maybe someday we'll have him on to talk about it.
I hope we do. Partially because I met Ben at Celebration Orlando last year. And Ben and his parents are super nice and great. And I would love to have them on the show. Ben, if you're listening, hi, come join us. Also because I did not get to talk to him on the Star Wars Underworld podcast this week.
Oh, he wasn't on?
No, because he was driving a barbecue truck across his state.
Well, that's fascinating.
He was working. He had to drive a bunch of barbecue sauce. And I was very sad. I missed him. So, Ben Hart, if you are listening, you are an all-around awesome dude. And come join the Imperial Senate podcast one of these days.
For sure.
Yeah, even if you break our hearts.
Maybe there will be a very Yeager-centric story soon. And
yeah.
Perfect opportunity.
After we have, maybe at the end of season one of Resistance, we'll have character breakdowns or something like that, and we'll have Ben Hart on, because he has some awesome ideas about Resistance, at least judging from their Kazuda cast. Go listen to it. It's a good time.
Sweet. So yeah, what else do we have? We had these kids in this most recent episode play a major role in this little story that we have going, and I feel like in Rebels or something, this would sort of be a one-off situation where it's like, oh, the episode where they help some kids. But I think actually in Resistance, I think these kids are going to be hanging around a bit, because I think Christopher Sean mentioned that they made their debut, these
Ooh,
actors.
Ooh, I like that.
They made their Star Wars debut, which I think suggests that they have more to come in this series.
That's interesting.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I need to find, I can't remember the exact phrasing that went down, because I think one of them replied to him and was like, oh yeah, like this journey is awesome or something like that.
Journey implies more than one episode, young
right.
man.
Yeah, we're still going. Let's see. If I can pull it up, I'll see. But yeah, I think here we go. I found it.
Yay.
So Christopher Sean. Let's see. Tonight, Nikki Suhu and Anthony Del Rio make their Star Wars debut. Blah, blah, blah. Check out Star Wars Resistance. I have to say, these two are extremely talented individuals who are a ton of fun to work with. Lucky to have such talent on the show. The show is heating up with the introductions to their characters. Congrats again. And then Anthony Del Rio replied with, "This is awesome, man. Thank you. You're a great leader, brother. It's a pleasure to be working with you." So that doesn't sound like a one-episode relationship.
To be working. That is a gerund, which implies a continuous action.
Exactly.
I like that. Well, technically it's a... Well, I'm not going to get into grammar, but yeah, that implies...
That's our other podcast.
That's our other podcast. The Imperial Grammar Nazi podcast. That's interesting that you bring that up. I was hoping that the children from Tahar would come back, partially because of all of the things they've alluded to, partially because they know more about the actual actions of the First Order and about Kylo Ren's potential than pretty much anybody else at this point. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know what the Resistance knows about Kylo and about the First Order. The only thing that I do seem to know is that Leia looked like she knew, or not Leia, Ello seemed like he was familiar with the name Kylo Ren, and for some reason he specified that Leia would be interested in that information about Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think that the Resistance kind of knows what he's up to.
But yeah.
We have surviving witnesses of a massacre at his hand. They are so valuable to the Resistance.
Yeah, think about how much intel Kaz could just get from them.
Absolutely. If we want to spy on the First Order, why don't we talk about them in action?
Yeah.
Why did they do this? Why are these children orphans?
How many people in the Resistance do you think have seen Kylo Ren, right?
So few, because they'd be dead.
Yeah. And it's like, I always think about that great ending to the Battlefront campaign with Del and Kylo, right?
Oh, man.
Like, that's who he is right now, right? Like, that's, like, the mask has not been taken off yet, I assume. So, like, he's still very much that menacing figure of for an audience member at this point in the Star Wars story. So I think that's really, it's really cool that they didn't just say the First Order attacked our village. Like, Kylo Ren came. And I think that really enhances the legend of Kylo at this point for the galaxy, or rather not legend. we don't really know his dynamic. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I wonder how much, like, it's interesting you brought up the Resistance, because I wonder if they know or they don't know. And like, how much do you think Leia tells them? Do you think Leia's like, if you hear anything about Kylo Ren, tell me? Or is it like, we know who Kylo Ren is, so she'll want to know, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because at the name drop, Ello immediately brings up Leia, so it was like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's been a question a long time for people since Force Awakens. Like, how much do people know about who he is?
Yeah, it's clear that Han seems to recognize the name and the man in the mask when he sees him on Taco mm-hmm. Donna as his son.
Right.
So at that point, they've figured some crazy stuff out. And he knows the outfit too, which is interesting to me.
Yeah. Like, part of me is like wondering how much of that is the sort of like the parental instinct.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I don't know if he felt it or something, or like he just knew it. Not felt it in a force way, but like he knew it or something. But I think either way makes sense. Because I mean, the other side, this is something that has yet to be addressed, because I feel like it's a pretty big deal. They mentioned Snoke by name in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they, like, Han and Leia know this guy. They know what, like, his deal is to some extent. And that's yet to be explored. But I think just focusing on Kylo, the whole notion of what people know is still really interesting. Like, did Poe know who he was, yeah, like who exactly he was dealing with at that moment? Yeah. It's cool. It's cool that they're helping build this sort of mystique around the character.
Yeah, I'm with you too. And I love how we're getting all of this out of two name drops. The child says some Kylo Ren had a laser sword like the Jedi, and then Kaz just being like, oh yeah, Kylo Ren was there. And this is where the conversation has go. It's just so interesting. There's so much to talk about that we don't know and speculate on. And right, you're right. I'm very, very happy that they're filling out some of this.
Yeah. I mean, like weirdness. I said, like this is why this show is the Frosted Mini Wheats, right? Like,
yes.
It's making us think about things. Like, again, like the bar I talked about with the casting show. Like, what does this new content do that expands / informs upon what we already had? And like, Resistance is hitting that. I think it's making us ask new questions. It's making us wonder new things. It's showing T-85 X-Wings. So it's finding ways to keep us intrigued and guessing and excited about the sequel trilogy and not just, you know, flashy things zooming around.
Right.
Let's see, what else? I don't think we have any, or we have a preview of the next episode, and it looks like Poe and Kaz are going on a little mission together. That's all.
Oh, I'm so excited.
That's all I know how to tease. But they're in some Resistance X-Wings, and they are going to some derelict-looking ship. But it's Poe and Kaz teaming up. So that is what we have to look forward to for the next episode of Resistance.
Reunited, and it feels so good. Sorry, I was sitting on that one.
You know, it's 100% appropriate.
Thank you, I know.
So, yeah, we got Cassian, the sequel trilogy. It's all coming to us. I guess to wrap up our little episode here, we're gonna come to a question that I think we'll probably be returning to every episode in the future. And
I like this trend we've got going.
Yeah, it's kind of become our brand, just because we were messing around that one time and we kept saying this word.
And now I own a coffee mug that says moist on it in Star Wars letters.
Right. So we just, you know, we're running with it. We're taking it up. You know, we're holding the burden of the moist word for the Star Wars community. So the question now, and we'll always end on this, so fear not, dear listeners. Since we last talked, what has made you I was going to say the most moist. But that's
most
that's
moist,
a lot.
Moist, moist. It's hard to what, say.
What made you moist in Star Wars since we last talked?
Well, I feel like it would be kind of a cop out to just say the Secrets of the Empire VR. Because seeing myself as a stormtrooper and being, I don't want to give spoilers for it, so I won't allude to exactly what happens in the VR experience. And me crying in the VR helmet probably was the most moist I was.
we're talking literal here.
No. Well, like, my face was, because I was covered in tears.
Yeah. So there was moisture in the facial region.
It definitely was. But also, actually, my second place moist experience would be earlier in this conversation. When I thought about the potential of having a live action Grand Admiral Thrawn,
those are the going.
yeah, those are the big two. So yeah, how about you, Nikki? What made you moist? What made you moist in Star Wars since we last talked?
Oh man, yeah, I feel like it's the talk of the town. I feel like I should have a different answer, but. Let's see. Actually, maybe I will give a different answer. I was going to say the Cassian stuff, but the thing that made me the most moist is John Boyega's social media account, where he's very much started this little thing that's starting to look like the adventures of John Boyega and Oscar Isaac in Jordan while filming episode 9. And just these, like,
yes,
these like random photos of them hanging out. He put one up of like him and some other dude and Oscar Isaac playing like
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, just seeing them together is really cracking me up, and it makes me really happy that it looks like some big stuff in 9 is going down with Finn and Poe together. I think that's really exciting for episode 9. I mean, we haven't even talked about like episode 9 today.
Oh my god. And we'll get
We have the big Star Wars saga finale, or Skywalker saga finale, is filming, and we didn't even really mention it. So that shows you how much stuff is going on in Star Wars land. But yeah, I think, yeah, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, ultimate buddy team, it's making me happy, making me moist. So yeah, that's my answer.
I love it.
Sweet. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Claire, for recording today.
Hey, thank you for joining me.
We've
had a lot to talk about.
For sure. Hopefully we will have the rest of our Senate team back soon enough. But, you know, we'll keep cranking out some episodes and some new content, some more Senate library coming up. I don't know what the next data bank discussion is.
It's in the works, but you guys don't get to know yet.
There we go. It is on its way. And there's been a lot of great feedback on the Qui-Gon Jinn episode. So congratulations to you, Claire and Brian.
Thank you.
For all that cool stuff.
Brian made it easy to have an episode that I'm very excited about, because he is just a fantastic guest. And I'll plug it again just because he's awesome. Go listen to the Dorky Diva Show or the Interesting Podcast. If you like Star Wars actors or like people who play aliens in Star Wars, you have about 5 million episodes on the Interesting Podcast of him just talking to those people about their experiences. So, no. So, yeah, definitely go do that.
Sweet. So, yeah. We have more episodes coming in the future of just cool stuff that we're excited about. And with Mandalorian, with Cassian, with Resistance, Clone Wars soon enough.
Oh, my.
There will be plenty of stuff to discuss. Not to mention all the books. Anyway, if you want to keep following us on social media stuff, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at ImpSenatePod, and also on Instagram at ImperialSenatePod. You can like our page on Facebook. We have updates. We post the episode links and stuff up there. You can get some sweet hashtag
moist
fire emoji. Hashtag moist fire emoji 100 emoji swag on our TeePublic page, which is teepublic.com/user/TheImperialSenatePodcast. So definitely, if you're feeling good, if you're feeling moist, go check out some cool stuff we've got there. You can become a patron on our Patreon page, because it's very kind of everybody who helps us out financially through that. And we're still, Patreon is like our troubled sibling. we're still just trying to figure out what the best way to bring stuff to that forum is. But we do have After Dark episodes cooking, and we got a bonus mini show for data bank discussions, the data bank discussion tangents that go up on Patreon. So if you really enjoyed any of the data bank discussions, definitely Patreon is a cool place to be for just a little bit extra. And then finally, you know, if you got the time, if you got a nice feeling, go ahead and give us a super awesome positive review on iTunes. It just helps the show in all the ways you can imagine. Having good ratings helps the show. So, Claire, where can we follow you specifically?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at cstribs. That's all lowercase c-s-t-r-i-b-s. And you can keep up with my shenanigans, which lately have mostly been photos of my dog and the occasional yelling into the Star Wars void with excitement. So if you want to keep up with that, yeah, that's where you can do that.
Sweet.
How about you, Nikki? Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can just find me on Twitter at Naquicious. It's N-A-Q-U-I-C-I-O-U-S. If it makes your life easier, just go to the Imperial Senate Twitter account, and our handles are in the profile description. So you can reach us there.
For sure.
But yeah, I think that just about covers all the business for this period of time. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the episode. We are excited to hear from you. If you ever want to get in touch, and we will catch you next time. And remember, the Force will be with you. Not sometimes. Not rarely. Force will be with you always. So catch you around, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Dissolved the council permanently. The last remnants of the Old Republic have been swept away.